to hear their heart and their connection to many of the churches that we're close to and friends that are very similar. I didn't get to say anything to him, but I saw him at Brennan's funeral that day, and just so. Again, the power of the preaching of the Word of God. You know, the Bible speaks about good news from a far country and the power of a word and what it can do in life. And, you know, I quote very often from the scripture in Romans where it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God, as it is preached and ministered to us, can do a lot of things in us. And there's one text that's often stood out in my mind. And in a little bit different context, maybe not in as much of a preaching of a sermon, but just the fact that somebody brought a word at a difficult time. And Paul is writing into the church at Corinth in the second epistle, and he's speaking about a difficult time. He said, I'm filled with comfort, I'm in all our tribulation. He writes this way, for when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were troubled on every side. On the outside were conflicts, and on the inside were fears. And that's a difficult place to be. And most of us have been there at some point in time in our life. But he writes this, Paul does, and he says, nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast. How he comes. So how does he comfort the downcast? He comforted us through the coming of Titus. Just right there, and it pauses. Titus was, as you know, is Paul's common son in the faith. He is the young man that Paul sends to Crete to set in order the things that are lacking in the church and ordain elders in every city. And he speaks very highly of Titus. And Titus, I'm sure, had received many times from the wisdom and the counsel of the apostle and, you know, was his son in the faith. He would have called him his apostolic father, his spiritual father. But at this time in Paul's life, when Paul has been persecuted and his countenance is falling, and he's talking about outside we're fighting and inside we're fears, this young man came and brought a word from God. Come on, somebody, and lifted the spirits of all of Paul's team. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to trust that that's what Brother Jonathan has. God's given him a word. He gave us a word this morning. Now he's given us a word for tonight. And it's going to comfort every one of us. Amen. I believe that. So won't you put your hands together. Welcome the man of God. Let him have his liberty today.
So good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. How many of you appreciate your pastor? Come on, somebody. You've got good pastor, sister pastor. You've got good leadership in this church. And I don't, well, Lord knows, I don't say that everywhere I go. But you have great leadership in this church, and I'm so honored to be here with you. Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter, the prophet said that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And say it with me, and by his stripes we are healed. This morning we spoke of the work of the cross and the power of the cross and how salvation is obtained through the cross. But I just come to remind you tonight that salvation was not the only thing that was nailed on that tree. Our healing was placed on Calvary. But I wonder, do we really believe that God is still our healer? Are y'all getting quiet? R.W. Shambach said this, and I'm going to quote it so I don't mess it up. But he said this. He said, faith is an action based on a belief supported by confidence. Now, I'm just going to give you the MOV version. Pastor preaches out of the King James. A lot of times I preach out of the MOV. This is my own version. What you believe, I'm going to say it like this, what you believe will affect what you do. Many of you, you remember the story, we were just singing it a moment ago, of the broken paraplegic, the man, he couldn't work, he couldn't do anything, and he had four boys that picked him up and they carried him, you know the story, to get to Jesus. And And the scripture says, as they carried him, when they got to where Jesus is teaching in a house, and when they get to the place where Jesus is, there were so many people that they could not get in. The crowds were everywhere. And I imagine that if there was a front door on the building, I think they tried that front door. If there was a back door, I think that it went around back. If there's a side window, I think they tried every which way to get to where Jesus was, but they couldn't get in. But they had such a faith that would not. See, a lot of us get to that place. We know where Jesus is, and we're trying to push in, and we get to the obstacle, and we say, well, I guess it just wasn't God's will. Come on, somebody. You know, I really wasn't meant for me, because if it was meant for me, it wouldn't be so hard to obtain it. But they had such a faith that the Bible says they put the man up on the roof. I never heard that song. I like that song. They put him on the roof, and they began to tear the roof off the building. Can you imagine if there was such a hunger that people, the crowd, imagine this room full, and people are so desperate to get to where God is, they're tearing. Can you imagine? And I can just, in my imagination, ceiling tile falling, and I see the rope drop down, and I see these boys looking through the hole, and they begin to lower their friend. Think about it. To where Jesus is teaching. It interrupts the meeting. Jesus turns. And I love how the scripture tells us, when he saw their faith. My Lord, what did he see? When he saw their faith, he looked at this man, and he dealt with what he needed first. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, when Jesus said that, it started a little ruckus in the building. They said, well, who does he think he is? Nobody can forgive sin but God, and they were right about that. But Jesus said, so you know that I have power to forgive. So you know that I'm not just saying some religious. So you know I'm just not talking it. So you know that I'm walking it too. He said, take up your bed and walk. And this man that is crippled, he was carried to the meeting. He gets up and he walks out of the building. I don't know about you, but I want to see that kind of miracle in my life. I want to say I was there when the impossible happened. I wonder what Jesus saw. I think, now listen, I know that I'm speculating, but I think I want to back up when that rope fell and Jesus looked into that hole. I tend to think that he saw four old boys looking through the hole, and I think that they were all grinning ear to ear. I think they were smiling. I think they were excited. In my mind, he's Jimmy Ray. I'm telling you, Jimmy Ray, I know you're broken. I know you're desperate. I told y'all I preached out of the MOV. I'm telling you, Jimmy Ray, this is the man that you, I think they were excited about the potential of what was about to happen. We need to get excited about what could happen in the house of God again. Now, what would we do tonight? What would we do tonight if the back door of the church opened up? And maybe somebody that's in a wheelchair. Somebody that's, maybe they're crippled, maybe they're broken, or some situation that's holding them. And what if in this house tonight, the wheelchair came down to the altar service? And we were a people that had like-minded faith. And we call for the saints, because it ain't just the evangelist or the pastor that has the power. Don't ever mistake the bucket for the power. And we as a people that believe, what if we begin to surround them as a church body, lay our hands on them, and the power of God moved. And suddenly, I'm not talking about somebody that the evangelist paid $100 behind the church building to put on. I'm talking about, come on. Oh, preacher, they don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. I'm talking about somebody that you know personally. And you know if they are healed that it can only come from God. And whatever the situation is, and they're bound, they're broken, and suddenly in the house tonight, the power of God, the miraculous happened. Maybe you've seen limbs begin to stretch out, and that broken body got up and began to. Can I tell you what we do in this house? We'd get a little bit excited. I'm telling you, we'd have an old Jericho march. We'd be running. We'd be shouting. Some of y'all that can't get your hand up, you'd be jumping. Come on. You'd be excited. No, wait a second. The Bible says that faith is seeing things that are not as if they were. Sometimes we need to start seeing the miracle. We need to start imagining what God is about to do. Come on, somebody. We need to get excited. I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care if it's pastor, evangelist, or that preacher that comes in that you know, I can't stand when he shows up. I don't care who it is. Anytime you come into the house of God, there is always, always, always potential for a miracle. And we need to get excited about the potential of his word again. Jesus has a thing for faith. I think he gets excited when we begin as a church body begin to believe on what he spoke in his word. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Mark chapter 5. Now I'm going to read, I already got in trouble for this, but I'm going to read about 20 verses to you tonight, so don't fall asleep. Don't check out on me. I'm taking you somewhere. Mark chapter 5, and I want to begin down in verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse number 21. Again, thank you, Pastor, so much for allowing my family to be with you today. I want to say to each and every person for your hospitality, the room that was opened up, and also for your honorariums, thank you, thank you, thank you. I promise you that is not the reason that we come. I promise, I'll preach for free, I will. Don't tell everybody that, but I will. But thank you so much for helping our ministry and for helping us to get to the next place. Mark chapter 5. Beginning in verse number 21. If you found it tonight, somebody shout amen in this house. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, that'll preach all by itself. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they killed him. But when he had put them outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. I bet they were. We're going to stop right there. I want to preach to you tonight along the subject, the caption, the words that Jesus spoke, which was only believe. Saints of God, one more time, would you help me pray that God would meet us in this house tonight? Can we do that in your own way? Lord, we love you. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can freely gather here tonight. Lord, I confess, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do in many situations. But, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would use me tonight. Lord, that you would speak through us. Lord, that you would help us to know that you are a God that hears and answers. And, Lord, you would use the power of your word, Lord, that so faith can be elevated. Lord, that we would be a people that believe. We want to see miracles. We want to see the hand of God move in the miraculous. We want to see, Lord, your presence and your face. We want to see the impossible become possible, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Lord, tonight will you help us? Lord, help us to believe every word that you've spoken. Bless this word. Bless your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And if you believe that, somebody shout amen in this house. Now this text opens, and I know that this is a passage that many of us are familiar with. And the text opens with a man by the name of Jairus who comes running to where Jesus is. Jairus is desperate. Jairus has a little girl, 12 years of age, and she is at a place she is about to lose her life. You want to talk about a situation that will make a father or a mother desperate. Jairus is desperate for a miracle. He is desperate to see the hand. He is desperate to see his healed. And he finds where Jesus is. And he, in desperation, I can just see him running up and maybe even grabbing the feet of Jesus, being a father that is desperate. And he says, "Lord, I know that if you'll just touch her, I know if you'll touch her that she will live." Jesus looks down at this man who is so desperate. He needs a miracle. Jesus looks at him and he says, "All right, let's go." And Jairus and Jesus, they begin this journey together. Remember, they are on the way to the house of Jairus. And this, they're on the journey. They are moving to Jairus' house. And this is the place where the woman of the with the issue of blood enters the scene. And this woman comes, and I don't know exactly. I love how the Bible says when she heard about Jesus. I love that. I wonder what she heard. What if she heard how he opened blinded eyes or how he walked on water? I don't know what she just heard enough that would elevate her faith. And when she heard about Jesus, she begins to push through the crowd. And she's pushing through because she needs her own miracle. The Bible tells us that she has this issue of blood. She has a problem in her personal life, and she's tried every doctor, she's tried every medicine, and nothing. The Bible says that she spent all that she had. She's desperate. Any money left? Have any hope left? She needs a miracle. But when she heard about Jesus, something on the inside of her, it sparked. Because you have to understand, this situation in her life, it was more than just the issue of blood that she had to deal with in her own private life. But this thing would have ostracized her from society. If her situation was bad enough, she would have been an outcast. She would, according to Levitical law, if the situation was bad enough, that means she couldn't come to your house and sit down on your couch. She couldn't be, and if it was bad enough, she would have been put on the outside of the town. She is broken, and she is alone, and she is desperate. But she heard about Jesus. And she begins, and I don't know, I know I've seen paintings of this very scene, and I don't know if she climbed under the crowd. I don't know if she come in like a bulldozer and knocked three or four people. I don't know how she got to Jesus. I just know she made up her mind, and she got to where Jesus was. Scripture says she was speaking it out. If I can only touch the hem of his garment. If I can, he is so powerful. If I can just touch him, I know I'll get what I need. And she makes her way to the crowd, and she touches the garment. And the moment that she reached out in faith and got a hold of Jesus, the power of God flowed out of him. And it stopped Jesus in his tracks. Jesus spun around, and he said, "Who touched me?" By the way, anytime you see Jesus or God asking a question in Scripture, he's never seeking information. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the people began to say, "Well, Lord, you know there's what? Who touched you?" The crowd is all over. People have been bumping into you all day. The multitudes are all over. What do you mean, who touched me? Listen to me. It was not the physical touch that Jesus was talking about. But Jesus was referencing the touch of faith. Your faith will get the attention of Jesus. Jesus was not even on the way to heal her. Remember, he is on the way to the house of Jairus, but she has made her way through the crowd to where he is. She is pushed in faith. Can I tell you, anytime you come to God in faith, he's never too busy. You're never a bother. Jesus always makes time for those that come in faith. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She begins to confess. She begins to tell Jesus, "Lord, it was me." Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." This is a miracle. This is the power of God being seen by everybody that was there. Now, if I'm Jairus and my child is about to die, my faith is being elevated. I'm thinking, "My Lord, I got the right guy with me. Come on." Jesus has just worked a miracle. And the moment the miracle happens, here comes the naysayers. Here comes the runners with the message from the house of Jairus. "Jairus, you're wasting your time. Jairus, I don't know exactly how to tell you this. I can imagine, cannot imagine telling a father. Your baby girl is dead, Jairus. Don't bother the good teacher anymore." And the moment that the naysayer spoke, the moment they said, "It's over, it's done," Jesus spun around and he looked at Jairus and he said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe." I think Jesus was saying, "Jairus, why don't you keep on speaking what you were speaking back in verse 23 when you met me out on the roadside? When you come running up and said, 'Lord, I know if you touch her, I know that she will live.'" Do you know that there's power in your words? Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Whether Jairus understood it or not, I don't know, but he was speaking life into his situation. And then the runner comes up. It's too late. "Jairus, your little girl is dead. There's no hope." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." I think Jesus was telling Jairus, "Don't let your situation cause you to change what you've been believing me for." The word of God is still true, whether no matter the situation or what we feel in our lives. "Don't be afraid, Jairus," only believe. Can I tell you that what God did for Jairus and what God did for the woman with the affliction, God can do in our lives? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and He is still a healing God. And I think that we need to still get a little bit excited about the potential of what God can do. Every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, you name it, the potential is there. Anywhere God's word is being spoken and we are in a position to move in faith, there is potential for a miracle. We need to get excited about His word again. When I was a kid growing up, I'm the youngest, if you didn't know, I'm the youngest of seven children. And growing up, we used to love to watch the TV show, The Price is Right. Not the new one, I'm talking about the old one. Come on, y'all remember Bob. And at 10, I think it was 10 o'clock, the show, The Price is Right, it was like a religion. We loved to watch The Price is Right. Truth is, we only had three channels and that's all that was on. But we liked the show. And being the youngest of seven kids, I was often what I like to refer to as one of the remotes. Because we didn't have one of these at our house. Mama did this. And you had to run over to the old TV clicker. Some of y'all going down memory lane. You had to click it. You had to turn it. Y'all remember? And we had three channels, 47 and 11. And you would have to turn that clicker to get to the channel to receive The Price is Right. But at our house, we lived out in the country, and you didn't just turn the clicker because you had to get it on the channel, but you had to get the antenna in position. I mean, the broadcast, the show was going out in, you know, TV land, but before, I mean, even though the channel was right, you still had to get the antenna right. I bet somebody in this room still got one of those up above, sticking out above your roof. Come on. And so I would have to change the channel, and we lived in a two-story home, and I would have to run up the steps, and then we had a balcony that, it sounds fancy, but if you've seen it, it don't look that fancy. We had this balcony that come off my mom and daddy's deck, a deck to this day my daddy still hadn't put no railing on. It took faith to even walk out there. And my father had taken the antenna. He had like a 20 or 30 foot pole that he found somewhere, and he had installed it on the second story balcony to get it up as high as it could get. And like any good carpenter would do for installation, my father took a 2x4 and he took nails and he bent the nails over to hold the antenna in position. And he took a pencil on the 2x4 and he scribed marks. I can still see it. And he put a mark and a dash and it said 40. And he put a dash and it said 7 and another dash had 11. So when you would change the channel, come on, y'all remember, you would change the channel downstairs, you would run upstairs, and you would get the channel right, and then you would get the antenna in position. And when you did that, you could receive the TV show, The Price is Right. I just come to tell somebody tonight that God is your source, and faith is your channel. And sometimes you, listen, your healing, your miracle is out. We've just got to get our antenna in position to receive what God's already spoken over our lives. But we would get up and we would watch the show, The Price is Right. Now, some of y'all are younger. You may not be familiar, but this was a game show. And what would happen, the Price is Right would come on and the lights would begin to go crazy. And what you would do, they would bring out vacuum cleaners, they would bring out shampoo, all of this different stuff. And you would come and you would guess at what you thought the price was. Some of y'all have seen this. And those that were closest to the retail price, then they got to get on the show. And they got, if you did good at this game, you would go all the way to the showcase. That's where the big stuff come out, trips and cars and things of that nature. But if you watch the show, when they first open up, the lights are going crazy. and the announcer get on, he'll say, "Susie Q, come on down. You're the next contestant." And the line, everybody's look, because everybody had on their name tag. You would be the contestants, and everybody's out, and everybody's looking for Susie Q. I'm gonna cut. You thought you were safe sitting back here, y'all weren't. And Susie Q's back here, and she's got her, and it's almost like she's forgotten her name. Y'all seen this? And finally, the lights are going, they're looking for, and suddenly Susie, wait a second, that's my name, I'm Susie, and Susie Q gets, and she jumps up, wig falls off of her head, she starts jumping and shouting, she starts bumping into people, she's so excited, Susie's going the wrong way. She's shouting, she's dancing, she's jumping, and finally she gets turned, she dances all the way to the front of the stadium. Y'all seen this? Susie Q is so excited. Wig's off, mascara's running. I mean, she's excited. She's dancing all over. You can't even contain her because she's so excited. Now, if you watch the show, this is what we know. At this point in time, Susie Q has not won a new car. Susie Q has not won a washer and dryer. At this moment in time, Susie Q has not won anything. But Susie Q's excited because her name's been called. Susie Q hadn't got nothing yet. But Susie Q is excited because she's in position on contestant's row. She's in a place that she can receive. Susie Q is excited about the potential of what can be. Friends, we need to get excited about what can be in our lives again. We need to get excited. Anytime we come to the house, we ought to walk in. This is my moment for a miracle. This is my God is able, and I know that my God can heal. I know my God can turn it around, and I stand and I walk in faith because God spoke it over my life. Nothing is impossible if we'll only believe. Nothing is impossible if we'll only believe. I'll never forget one of the first, very first revival that I was ever invited to. It's been a few years ago. I preached my first revival over in Oklahoma. And I'll never forget the church. They let me come in. And I'm telling you, I was preaching out of the book of Accidents. Lord knows I was trying. But it wasn't very good. Somebody said, "You ain't very good now." Well, you can hush in Jesus' name. I don't know if I prayed for them people more, if they prayed for me more. Come on, y'all. Help him, Jesus. He's trying real hard. But in spite of my preaching and in spite of my lack, I gave my altar call. And I gave a call for salvation. Had a young man come down and respond. I came over and talked to him because I want to make sure that they're not just praying a little prayer. I want people to know that this is not the end, it's the beginning. I want people, Jesus said, count the cost. I want people to know what they're getting into. I talked to him a little bit. And he said, "I'm ready." We pray a little prayer together. He's saved. But anybody that knows me knows I just can't leave good enough alone. Because I believe the same God that can save you can also baptize you in the Holy Ghost. I know what it did for me, and I knew what it could do for that young man. He wasn't church. I like unchurch people. He didn't know the difference from an apostle and an epistle. He just believed what the preacher said. And I said, "Friend," I said, "at this moment, you are saved if you really prayed and you met." I said, "You are saved." And you know what? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, you are now indwelt. You are sealed with the Spirit of God. And that which is in you can come out of you. And if you want God to help you to pray, I believe that God can baptize you right now with the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, well, I want it. I said, all right. And before I could even, I was in my mind, I was going to be like the Apostle Paul. I was going to lay my hands right. And before I could even get my hand on him, God reminded me I ain't got nothing to do with it. The power of God hit that young man, and he began to flow in a brand new language. Friend, I'm here to tell you that God still saves, and he still baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I still get excited. Why? Because it's real. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is real, and if you've yet to receive it, you need him in your life. I believe that no matter how far you've gone, I believe that God can still pull you out of the pit. I believe in the finished work of the cross, and I believe that his blood can still reach you and wash you and make you as white as snow. I believe that my God can mend relationships. I believe that he can still heal the sick. He can open blinded eyes. He can heal withered hands. I believe he can make the lame walk, and I believe that my God is able to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I believe that our God has the power that he can still even raise the dead. Nothing is impossible if we'll just believe. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Scripture says in Matthew 13 that Jesus performed many miracles when he went in to Galilee. He worked miracle after miracle after all over town. Everybody's following. Everybody's talking about what Jesus is doing. The word is all over town. But when it got to Nazareth, they looked down the road. And they said, who is that? They said, oh, that's just Mary's boy. That's just Jesus. We know him. A prophet is without honor. They said, that's just Mary's kid. What can he do? And the scripture says that Jesus, that he did not do many great works there because of their unbelief. Now hear me, it's not that their unbelief could somehow limit God's power, because God's power is limitless. You can never limit God. Nothing is impossible with him. But it was their unbelief that kept them from coming to him. Hear me, friend, your unbelief does not affect God. Your unbelief affects you. And if they would have walked in faith just like so many before, I believe God would have done so many works in their life just like he'd done in many others. Nothing is impossible if we'll only believe. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I want that kind of faith. I want to see the impossible. I want to see great miracles. Well, I tell you, sir, ma'am, get in line. I want to see it too. I want to see a last day revival. I want to see things that cannot be manipulated. Anytime the power of God moves, a counterfeit always shows up with it. I want to see the real thing. How does it happen? The word says, pastor already said it, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. It's that simple. You say, well, I want that kind of faith. I do too. But it doesn't say because you heard the word. It says it comes by hearing. That's a continual pouring into you. Faith comes by a continual hearing. You're not going to have all the faith in the world because you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But when you keep pouring the word into you, your faith begins to grow. Joshua 1 and 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I wonder, are we a people that have the word in us so that we can't, do we even know what God said? Do we have his word so we can is it even sown like a seed so it has the power to come out of it, out of us when we need it? Come on, y'all. Do we have his word in? See, if you don't have the word planted on the, you can't, I don't know about you, but I can't just make it on Sunday morning service. I ain't that strong. I've got to have the word. You're not always going to have time to get on the internet and Google it either. Come on. You've got to have the word in. And if you don't, when the enemy comes in and you're at your weak point and the enemy comes in and he begins to attack your mind and attack your situation, all of a sudden fear will begin to grow. Anxiety will begin to grow. Depression will begin to grow. But if you've got the word of God planted inside, when the enemy comes in like a flood, all of a sudden the word of God will stand up and say, no, devil, greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. When the enemy comes in and you're never going to get free of that addiction, you're never going to get out of that situation, the enemy will show, or God will show up, and the word will begin to speak. Sometimes the stuff we didn't even know we put in, and all of a sudden the word will begin to rise up and say, you're more than a conqueror. The enemy will tell you, you're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to get that bill paid. But all of a sudden the word of God will show up and say, and my God shall supply all my needs. I'm no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ Jesus. Friend, if you will put the word of God in you, it will give you strength on the battlefield when you don't know which way to turn. Don't be afraid, Jesus said. Nothing is impossible if we'll only believe. Well, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. No, you don't know how big our God is. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible if we'll just believe. Brother, can I have you come? And I'm closing. Pastor, by the name of John Bisongo, shared a story. His daughter was 4 or 5 years of age. Pastor was sitting in his office one morning, and his little girl, Melody, she comes bebopping in the room. And she ran up to her daddy. She said, Daddy, will you build me a dollhouse, Daddy? Pastor John looked up from his book, and he just kind of nodded and went back to reading. Well, 30, 45 minutes went by. John notices some movement out the window. And he sees his little girl running out to the middle of the yard. And she's got her arms full of all types of little playthings, baby dolls and dishes and just little stuff. And she runs out to the middle of the yard and she just drops it. And she disappears out of sight. He thinks to himself, well, that's a little bit strange. And a few minutes later, he sees movement again, and he sees his baby out in the middle of the yard again. Another pile of dishes and toys, and throws it down and runs back in the house. And Pastor John, he's kind of curious of, what in the world is she doing? So he calls out to his wife. He said, honey, why in the world is your baby making? It's funny how it's their baby when it's... He said, why is your baby making such a mess out in the front yard? His wife looked at the pastor. She said, oh, you promised to build her a dollhouse. She believes you. She's just getting ready for it. Pastor John said that next moment it was like an atom bomb hit his office. Suddenly, he threw that book down. He got up. He marched to the back door. He got his truck keys. He jumped in his pickup truck. He drove down to the hardware store. He bought the screws. He bought the lumber. He bought everything that he needed from the hard. Immediately, he drove back home, backed up his truck in the middle of the yard, unloaded it, and that night, he built his baby girl a dollhouse. After it happened, many of the congregation that began to ask him, well, Pastor, why did you respond like that? Was it because you wanted to? The pastor said, no. I said, well, was it because you'd given her your, was it because you loved her so much? He said, no. Well, was it because she deserved it? Again, pastor said, no. He simply said, because her daddy had given his word and she believed it and acted upon it. When I saw her faith, there was nothing that could keep me from carrying out my word. Friend, I don't know you, what you've been believing God for, but I promise you if we will move in faith, there is nothing that God won't move in our lives. If we'll just believe, can you stand to your feet across this building? Jesus said, come to me. All you who labor, all you who are heavy laden. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that believes on me will never hunger. Jesus said, he that believes on me, out of your heart, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What are you saying, preacher? I come to tell somebody tonight, if you're hungry, you need only to eat. If you're thirsty, you need only to drink. And if you're in need of a miracle, you need only to believe. Nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible if we'll just believe. It's what I want to do tonight. If you're here and you say, I need a miracle. It may be physical, it may be spiritual. I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle in my family. I need a miracle in my body. Just a moment, I'm going to have you come. You know, we had a little fun with the Price is Right. We had a little fun with that. Maybe you've been to the altars and maybe you've prayed and maybe you've gotten positioned to receive, but you didn't get what you came for. But if we were on the TV show, if you were really invited on the show and you made it all the way to contestants row, but you didn't get what you came for, and they said, hey, I know it didn't work out for you, but come back tomorrow and we're going to put you right back in position. Wouldn't we come? Our God is still able. Our God is a healer. Well, preacher, what if I come? What if I come down there? And what if we get in position? And what if we pray? What if God don't heal me? Friend, what if he does? What if this is your moment for a miracle? You're here tonight. I need something from God. I need a miracle. I need a touch from him. All over this building, will you step out from your seat? I want you to line up shoulder to shoulder. And I want you to get your antenna up. Come on. We're going to get in position to receive the word tonight. We're going to get our antennas up. We're going to receive what God has spoken. I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. I need a touch. If that's you, I want you to line up. You can begin to pray in your own way. You can kneel. You can stand. I need something from God. Oh, listen, if you're able, I just want you to lift up your hand and I want you to begin to open up your mouth and begin to pray. Tell God what you need. I know that my God is able. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And as they are seeking, if you're still in your seat and everything's okay in your home, everything's okay in your body, I thank God for that. But we need some faith. And I'll confess to you, I don't have all the faith in the world. But the Bible says that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And this is a moment that we can be the hands and the feet of Christ. If you are saved, that means the Holy Spirit lives in you. The same power that rose Jesus has the same power inside of you right now to work miracles. So if you are comfortable or even if you ain't, sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zones. And maybe you that the miracle comes. It may be you that the breakthrough comes. If you're able, can you come to the front of this building? If you are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, will you find somebody? Stretch out your hands. We've got some oil. Will you help the preacher tonight? Will you help the evangelist? Will you help the pastor and allow the Holy Ghost to work miracles? We need to be a people that not only get in position to receive, but we need to be a people that support and pray and help. help our neighbor, because it may be you next week that's in position. It may be you next week that has pain, and we need to be the hands and the feet of Christ. That's the beauty of being a part of the church. When I'm in need, you can pray for me. And when you're in need, I can pray for you. Jesus said, let my house be a house of prayer. Come on, let's do that tonight. Let's get in position. Let's pray. Come on.